Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blois Olson. Today is Sunday, October 19th, 2025, and it is getting closer and closer to these municipal elections. And the Minneapolis mayor's race continues to get hotter and hotter, more negative and more negative. And really, the dialogue and the conversation that I continue to see and gather about the future of Minneapolis seems more and more intense. So this week, I want to dig deeper into kind of two views of the city. And they're not from candidates. We had the debate for you a couple weeks ago, but these are people who live and work and operate in the city of Minneapolis. And they're people who care about the city as well. But what are the challenges and how can we get there? I think one of the biggest factors that you'll hear in these interviews that I've really tried to ask folks lately is, why is there not more urgency to fix some things? And I think that's where people I talk to have questions about the DSA and their ideas. And I will acknowledge that when there's big new ideas and they've never been lived or experienced, it's hard to believe them or their concepts. And so is it that there is a better way out there? My sense is that that's what's really at stake in this election. Will the voters of Minneapolis believe that there's a better way? Because it's the last 5 years haven't just been visually or mentally challenging if you lived in the city in different neighborhoods, but they've been economically challenging as well if you own property, if you own a building downtown, but even if you own an apartment building in a neighborhood, property values are going down, taxes are going up. It's not a good recipe. And so I think the idea is, are we making the amount of progress that we need to make? And is there some urgency there? And one of the other pieces is, why is there not more urgency to fix the problem? Is it that we've entered a time of acceptance for encampments, open air drug deals, more crime. Because if that's the case, then that's what I think people need to say out loud. That's what some of the loudest voices from the progressive left seem to imply. And so I wonder what else we should know about that vision for the city. So joining me this week are Star Tribune columnist Eric Roper and property owner Jim Rubin. Jim Rubin was in the precarious state. Eric Roper wrote a column this weekend about the precarious state. And so we'll talk to both those gentlemen coming up on Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. My first
spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and 3 gorgeous finishes at only $250 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
First guest this week on Sunday Take is Jim Rubin. Jim is a property owner. He was in the Precarious State documentary. Jim and I have known each other for a number of years, and we've both lived through different parts of kind of the transition of the city. And I think that, you know, A, because of the precarious state, but B, because Jim has been a housing provider and Imagine those old brownstones in Minneapolis that people rent in, and they are affordable, and yet they provide a great lifestyle for somebody who's starting their career or probably been there for a while. But Jim understands the value of property and the neighborhoods his properties are in. So, Jim, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Jim, talk about Mint Properties. Talk about your business and how long you've been invested in this city and what it's meant for you these last few years in the city as a apartment owner in these neighborhoods.
Sure. Well, it started back in 1994. So I grew up in Minnesota. Hastings, went to St. Cloud State in college, ended up getting a job in downtown Minneapolis. So I was in the metro area here working, and I just decided, as kind of a hobby or for something on the side, I would try to get into apartments. So I bought a actually was what was a 5-unit apartment building over in Grand Avenue in St. Paul in 1994. And then from there, just been working away at it, one building at a time, one after the other. Now it's been over 30 years. As I reached my peak, which would have been, in 2022 time frame, I ended up, it was about 90% Minneapolis, 10% St. Paul. And most of my properties are in Minneapolis. All of my properties actually in Minneapolis are in Southwest. So kind of the broad uptown area, Loring Park, Uptown, Whittier, Stevens, that area. And you were describing the type of property we have. So I do not build properties. I purchase. Typically, what I would do is purchase old buildings, either circa 1920 brownstone or circa 1960s construction. And most of what I purchased was kind of run down and neglected. And my strategy was to just roll up my sleeves and fix them up. And like you said, provide affordable housing that's actually pretty nice and well taken care of. At my peak, we ended up well over 1,500 apartments in like 78 physical structures. And that's what we ended up peaking at. And
Got it.
so you can't do that, of course, unless things are going well. And so for the first 25, 26 years, things were great. Every year in and year out, the neighborhoods got better. The values of properties went up. Our tenant base was, got stronger and stronger. And the cities and the areas we were in flourished. And that all changed in 2020.
And
So what?
when you say the neighborhoods got better, it all flourished. I think we all are aware of the changes in 2020. How many properties do you have now? How has that impacted your investment in the city? Has it invested? Has it changed your renter profile? Is it harder to rent in some of these neighborhoods now?
Yeah, so what happens when the city of Minneapolis took a turn for the worse and some, especially crime started entering our neighborhoods? What happened was when crime really took off in the summer of 2020, we noticed an exodus from Minneapolis. So people who could afford to just give notice and move did. People who had cars or families, they left. And they left Minneapolis. And went to typically they just went to a suburb, right?
Yep.
And so we historically, for the first 25 years or so, generally would run around a 1 or a 2% vacancy. By the end of 2020, we were up in the 9 to 10% vacancy. So you had a significant exodus, which means our vac our, we have a lot more empty apartments. And then what happened was is basically the tenants we lost tended to be the top tier of tenants. They were the ones that, again, had good income, good credit, and it was easy for them to relocate. The people who didn't have the ability to move stayed here. So if you look at when we rent to tenants, we do a thorough background check. The people who were, easily, who had kind of the best profile, those are the ones that have departed. And the rest, because they don't have as many, have as much mobility or as many options, stayed. So not only did we get a higher vacancy, but now we have a tenant base that, on the average, is harder to manage and more expensive to take care of, right? And so in 2020 and 2021, 22, I went from having a business that was you know, full and getting better year and year out and flourishing, and the neighbors were flourishing too. Oh boy, all of a sudden I have so many vacancies, my rents are actually dropping, and my operational costs are going up. And so in that time frame, 2020, 21, 22, I, you know, of course, started trying to work with the city to say, help, you need to understand this is what's happening in your city. And I tell people the space I'm in is urban, inner city, urban, affordable housing. And so we tend to be kind of a canary in the coal mine. When something's going wrong, we tend to feel it first. So a lot of the crime issues really hit our tenants hard. You know, I tell people that for my tenant base, a lot of them do live paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, if their car is broken into and something stolen, it's earth-shattering, right? Now they can't go to work, or, you know, right? And it's a big deal. If their bike is stolen, that's their mode of transportation. They all of a sudden, you know, they have a problem. And so crime hits my tenant base especially hard.
Okay.
And I want, you know, through the years of the struggle, I wanted the city to understand that I'm trying to provide exactly what you want, which is affordable housing, well-maintained, you know, safe, taken care of. And I can't, I'm struggling. I want you to understand that. And I want you to help me, you know, and fix this problem so we can get back to normal functioning communities.
When you look at some of these neighborhoods that were, you know, flourishing, that were good. I mean, I say at the beginning of the show today that, you know, look, Minneapolis was kind of on top, and it's taken a hit. And there just seems to be a lack of urgency to fix some of these things. But, you know, is there things that you think, other than public safety, would bring people back, the renters that you talk about? And what are the other ways in which, is it property values, is it taxes, that have truly caused you to have this this decline in your properties?
Well, so there are multiple factors. However, safety is by far for us the number one issue. That for my company, it is, safety is by far the biggest issue. Because think about it this way: when my tenant base, when the people in my properties that kind of make the most money, have the strongest credit, have good jobs, they not only live in my buildings, but they're going to walk to the local coffee shop, the local restaurants, the grocery stores. When those people with that disposable income leave the neighborhood, that means the whole community struggles. So safety is the number one issue. There have been, you know, some other components that have happened that make it harder. You know, for example, higher taxes, of course, always makes it harder for everybody. Also, there's been a fair amount of regulation, particularly for, you know, employers and small businesses, things like minimum wage and sick and leave time and things like that. Yeah. So, however, collectively, all those things we could point to as potential issues don't add up to just safety alone, right? Safety is the big one. If we can solve safety, that'll go a long way to helping. And then beyond that, if the city could work on whether it's lower taxes or kind of more pro-business policies, that would be awesome.
Okay. As we wrap here, Jim, what do you look at for your properties now? Are you still going to stay in Minneapolis? Are there people who are buying properties in Minneapolis? What do you see the next, you know, year to 3 years look like, you know, regardless of, you know, other external factors?
Sure. I'm going to give you actually a totally honest answer to that. So when things really got difficult in 2020, I kept trying to grind it out and tough it out. And however, things got to a point where by the end of 22, my life was in pretty tough shape. And I realized as a human being, I needed to make a change. I couldn't keep grinding as much as I was and losing as much money as I am. I wouldn't be able to sustain that. So approximately January 1st of 2023, I woke up one morning and said, okay, I need to save myself. So I made the decision then to make a life change and decided that I was just going to make a wholesale change. And so my decision was made that I'm going to ultimately sell everything I have in Minnesota and head out to the next phase of life. Yep. An important, you know, and honestly, an important part of this puzzle is I do have four kids who are now adults. They all live elsewhere. They scattered around the United States. And so for personal reasons and professional reasons and health reasons, I said, you know, how to make this change. So I started that pivot in early 2023. And we have now sold approximately a third of my portfolio. And we've got, so obviously, two thirds to go. So, but what I'm doing is I'm kind of slowly and methodically doing it. We're not just blowing the towel and saying liquidate immediately. We're slowly winding down to take care of my employees and to just do it in a controlled fashion and not, again, not just cut the price and leave. It is hard, though, to answer one of your questions you just asked me. People broadly, people here, but really throughout the United States, people who are paying attention know that the city of Minneapolis is struggling. They can see the issues. They can see the drop in values. They can see the crime spikes. And they can, you know, kind of see the leadership we have. And there are very few buyers, to be honest with you. There are very few buyers. Before 2020, it used to happen that if you wanted to sell a building, it was a feeding frenzy. You would say, I want to sell it for XYZ. And usually you got a number higher because there were so many people buying and so few sellers. Mm-hmm. That is now completely reversed. There are way more sellers than there are buyers. So obviously that means the prices are down and selling takes a long time. It's very hard. And that will continue, frankly, until the city, you know, shows signs of turning around. In the city of Minneapolis, in Southwest Minneapolis, where I'm at, property values from 2019, the end of 2019, which was the peak, have dropped somewhere in the 20 to 40% range.
Wow.
So 6 years after the peak, we are 20 to 40% below what we were at. And that has a huge impact. I mean, that has a huge impact on the property taxes we pay, right, to the city and county. And is a big challenge for all property owners when it comes to refinance time or sale time, whatever. So it is a very difficult environment to sell in. However, again, I'm optimistic that eventually things will turn around and that will pick back up.
Got it. Well, Jim, thanks for talking about this. I know you've been committed to the city and I know you've lived through some of the tough times now. So appreciate you sharing your perspective here on Sunday Take.
Yeah, you bet. Glad to be here.
When we come back, Eric Rookber, a columnist who wrote this week about the good and the ugly in Minneapolis. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co. vistaprint.co.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt-lined drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
My final guest this week on Sunday Take is Eric Roper. He's a columnist for the Star Tribune. I've known him for a number of years. He's covered City Hall as a reporter. He lives in the city of Minneapolis. He's researched the city of Minneapolis. And he wrote a column this past week about what I think struck kind of this balance of the Minneapolis that he lives in, that I work in, that I travel around. I see good and I see bad. And I just think it's important for us to have kind of a grounded conversation of the state of Minneapolis these days. So, Eric, thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
Thanks for having me.
So you live in the city. You've covered City Hall. You wrote the column this week about, you know, Minneapolis is beautiful, but it's got some work to do. And some of the things that I pulled from your column were the reality of as you cycle to work, in contrast with the vibrancy of the lakes. Mm-hmm. I think the contrast really comes out in your column, but what do you see every day? What do you feel every day as a resident of the city for a number of years?
You know, I mean, I think that having commuted and lived in the city for 15 years now, I mean, I think that there are certain things that we can see on the street that didn't feel like they were as present before. And one thing I call out in the column is Lake and Blaisdell, for example. I bike through there twice a day. It has become sort of a fairly open drug use area. There's a lot of things going on there that are troubling, and you wonder about sort of our city's response. You know, I would, but then on the other hand, it's like I'm going through there twice a day. It's not, I mean, as I say in the column around about 19th and Nicollet, like I don't expect to take a bullet on my way home. I mean, there are things happening. You know, Stephen Square is another area that's been called out recently in the Precarious State documentary, where, you know, it showed in the documentary quite substantial, you know, like a substantial gunfight, you know, really startling images And I don't deny that that happened, but it's saying, well, this is the new normal. And I just, in my column, wanted to push back because, you know, going through that area every day, you know, I was already working on something about that area. I actually did a safety walk with the Stevens Square Neighborhood Association. And I've been talking to folks there. And, you know, there is a problem. You know, businesses are closing left and right on Nicollet Avenue, particularly north of Franklin Avenue. There are crowds that are, you know, there's crowds standing around that are drinking. There's crowds standing around that are smoking marijuana, which is actually not illegal on most public sidewalks in Minneapolis. And then there's open drug dealing that's happening at 19th and Nicollet. And that's the reality, right? And I think that we need to be clear-eyed here about the conditions, because if we sort of make it out to be that, you know, war zone type gunfights is normal on the streets of Minneapolis, like, I'm really worried about the perception that that creates among people who don't spend a lot of time in the city. And, you know, I do commute. I do own a car, but I don't drive around town very much. I'm typically either walking, biking, or busing. And so, you know, my impression of the city was is sort of, you know, colored by that a lot. So, yeah.
I just, you know, it's one of those things that I remember. There was an occasion, I think it was right near Hennepin and Lagoon. There was a shooting, five people got shot a weekend, I don't know, five, mm-hmm. 6 years ago. And I remember in the newsletter, I led with that, and a Minneapolis advocate who I've known for a long time, a partner at a law firm, said, you can't lead with that. People are just going to think that that happens all the time. And my response was, yeah, but it happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the challenges as those of us who cover, commentate, analyze the state of the city is the city's changes have been dramatic. Now, they're not that dramatic if you travel the country or if you're in other cities. You grew up in New York. Mm-hmm. Is there part of that that says maybe we had it too good too long, or that we just can't expect a lot in this, I don't know, resource thin era of city politics, of the division, et cetera? Because I think that's the thing that people get frustrated that live in the city is it didn't used to be this way. And so it shouldn't have to be this way. And I wonder what you think about that, having lived here and covered the city for so long.
I mean, so I would say, first of all, you know, the nature of the news is that an incident like that, the one you're describing, which I do remember, you know, that's a huge thing. It's not something that should be ignored. And part of the reason I wrote my column was that, you know, we have to allow ourselves in the sort of dialogue, in the public discourse, opportunities to talk about sort of the rest of the story about what it's like to live in Minneapolis. And so that was sort of my goal. You know, but certainly, and I'm just trying to think of, I had a thought that I'm now forgetting, but, you know, so when major things happen, it's something we need to pay attention to. We had a story recently, which, I thought it had some really good, charts on it showing, crime in the city, 2019 to today. And it also showed, sort of in the last couple of years and today. So like homicides, for example, are up, from, 2019. So, you know, those are real things. We shouldn't have, you know, I don't think anyone's putting on blinders to that. I mean, I would say my paper has covered, you know, we've had a lot of major incidents recently. And, you know, again, like, I think we have real problems. But part of what I wrote in the column was, you know, I'm from New York City. It's a very, it's like a, I call it a concrete jungle. I mean, it's very dense, it's very big. And that's how I grew up. And coming to Minneapolis, I didn't sort of know that my life path was going to take me to Minneapolis. But, and I work here, I came here because of the Star Tribune. But you know, Minneapolis is such a special city. And part of what I call out in the column is that, you know, you have this real, like, sort of, it hits a sweet spot as far as the mixture of nature and, but also having enough density to support a lot of, like, vibrant districts, big corporate districts, small eclectic districts. And, you know, in our region, I feel like there's often, there's some, I don't know, and maybe it's in our state, there's a lot of, like, oh, well, Minneapolis has all these problems and that's their issue. We're all connected here. I mean, one thing that I've pointed out in previous columns is that we are a very fragmented region, meaning that we have a lot of municipalities. And I think, unfortunately, it leads people to feel like their life and their sort of the realities in, say, you know, Eagan are disconnected from what's happening in Minneapolis, and that, you know, they don't have to sort of be a part of the solution in Minneapolis or care that, or root for Minneapolis's success, I should say. But we are a region, and, like, regionalism is important to me. I think Minneapolis actually does provide a very beautiful center of gravity for this region. And at the same time, it has problems on the streets. And I don't want to negate, you know, the most violent issues that we see in society. But just as a daily commuter, I am not, I mean, you know, and this is my experience. I want to be careful about that, because everybody has a different lens, right, that they perceive the city. But I don't feel personally sort of threatened moving through some of the places that have been described in such sort of, you know, intense terms lately. And so I just wanted to call that out. Sorry, I'm rambling a bit now.
No, it's okay. My guest is Eric Roper. He's a columnist at the Star Tribune. He's lived here a number of years, but he also used to cover City Hall. And he wrote a column this past week about kind of this idea that Minneapolis is a beautiful city, but it's got some, you know, it's got some ugly parts right now. While you don't feel threatened there, one of the things that I sense, and I feel a little about this too, is that there just doesn't seem to be urgency to fix some of the issues, like encampments, like open market drug dealing. Some of the violence, you know, we know the police department is short-staffed, and there's some issues or challenges at the prosecutor's office. And I don't wonder if the lack of urgency isn't Minnesota culture, because I couldn't agree more that we are a region, and so goes Minneapolis, so goes the region. But I also feel like, you know, even myself, like, why aren't we trying to fix some of this stuff faster? Why are we kind of laissez-faire about it? Mm-hmm. Do you sense that there's a laissez-faireness about, like, this is just the way things are now?
I mean, I think the most obvious one to me, and I mentioned this in the column, was, you know, there was an open drug market off of the Midtown Greenway, like the exit at 35W. And I think either once or twice this summer, I tried exiting the Greenway and sort of encountered this large crowd and just turned around because I just didn't think I was actually going to be able to navigate it. And, you know, look, and then there was the mass shooting there. And, you know, that is the kind of thing. Now, I think that the mayor's office and the administration would say, we don't have enough police officers. And I understand that. I mean, I think when we think about things like Stephen Square, like the ability to have beat cops and other things on the street, you need sort of a certain level of bandwidth for that. But I guess even in that case, I'm still a little curious about, well, that's actually, you know, this was like an acute problem that we knew that was actually, like, very obvious and staring us in the face. Like, do we not have the force to handle that? Like, I'm curious, right? Like, I'd like to know more, because that to me is the one that really jumps out when I think about
that
this
one
summer.
Jumped out to me too. That one jumped out to me too, because there was a shooting there and the police chief said, we knew this was an open air drug market. And, you know, my brain went to, well, why weren't we doing something about it before we had a big shooting there? And I think that's where common sense, or whatever you have it, traditional ways of looking at these things, is why let it get to this point? As you look at the mayor's
go ahead. No, you're leading me where I was about to go, but go ahead.
You've done a column on all the major candidates for mayor, especially the challengers. there is this kind of gang up strategy, three against Mayor Fry. What do you sense in the challenges to Mayor Fry? And do you sense there's any new sense or new solutions in those candidates?
Well, first of all, I think, you know, to what we were just talking about. So, you know, Mayor Fry is really running heavy, you know, public safety and policing is a huge theme of his, I would say. And yet, like, it's his administration, you know, he oversees the police department that we were just talking about, you know, knew about that market. And sort of it's confusing because, you know, in the campaign, you know, there are some people who support the mayor who are sort of saying, well, the opposing side is sort of the you should be worried about in relation to public safety. And I understand the argument, but I'm also trying to grapple with the fact that the current mayor, this gets back to like, is it a matter of we don't have enough police to do these things or I don't know what, but it's the current administration that oversees this police department. It's really vexing, and I don't pretend to have an answer to it. I think some of the questions that come up a lot on the campaign trail that, you know, I suspect that we'll be asking more questions about or people will be asking more questions about in the coming weeks. One is it is often repeated. There's a line about how they say 47%. This comes particularly from challengers that 47% of police 911 calls could be answered by non-sworn officers. That comes from an NYU study of Minneapolis, and I feel like we need to talk more about what's the details there. I mean, that number and that claim gets tossed out quite a bit. I think the other thing that probably could use more discussion is, you know, we have a behavioral crisis response sort of team or program, and we have violence interrupters. Both of those are sort of third party. They're run through contracts. And there's been questions around accountability on those. I think that like it's worth talking more about, okay, how big should, you know, how much resources should those have, and how much, you know, do we have the accountability we need, and how much of it is contracted and how much of it is in-house? I think that's another thing. So I don't know if I'm really answering your question, but I mean, we can see the current reality, and public safety is a huge part of the campaign from all the candidates, I would say. I don't know that there's any candidate that doesn't really have it as one of their priorities. So it's a major feature of the campaigns.
I think that is, when you dig into kind of the contracted violence interrupter, mental health services, and the inability to really document the impact they are having, I think is one of the reasons why the whole concept of the, you know, the challengers, the perception that they're, you know, they would have less emphasis on traditional law enforcement is this idea that you can't see. We're used to this traditional model, right? We've grown up with it. We've seen it. And so when you present the alternative, and you have these challenges in the city, is when I think connecting it to life is really hard. Mm-hmm. Last topic I want to just touch on is neighborhoods. You talk about the eclectic neighborhoods and what they are, but there's some places like Uptown that have really struggled. The city is not getting capital investment. Do you, when you talk to folks about, you know, I don't know exactly your neighborhood, but is your neighborhood have the restaurants, the, you know, the stores, the retail that it's always had, or is it your sense that that's something that most of the city is struggling with right now?
I mean, you know, I live near 38th and Nicollet. That's sort of my closest, you know, main intersection. And it's doing very well. I mean, you know, restaurants open and close. And there's always sort of a, you know, there's always sort of like an evolution there. But, you know, those little pockets around the city are part of what make it so fantastic. You know, that among many things. But, and so I don't sense, you know, I mean, there were times, I mean, this is the thing that that I was trying to sort of push back on. I mean, there were times in the city's history where there was a real, we were hemorrhaging population, and there was a real sort of question mark around the city's future. But I mean, you know, given the huge influx that happened in the 2010s, I think you can still see that. Uptown is an example where it was a place that really embraced big retail. And, you know, I wrote a column a number of months ago saying, look, I think I am so optimistic about Uptown because I think it's some of the best infrastructure of any commercial district in the region because it has the Greenway, it has thousands of new apartments, it has rapid bus lines crisscrossing it, and it has historic buildings and historic theaters. It has things that other sort of districts, whether they be West End, 50th in France, et cetera, don't quite have. And I think that Uptown is going to sort of be, the new chapter in Uptown is going to be different from the last one. I think it's going to be more sort of small business oriented and things like that. But I don't sense, obviously we're sort of struggling to come back from the pandemic. And I think downtown, some of it I've pointed out, like on Nicollet Mall, for example, you have a lot of storefronts that are just built for big retail. And I think that we need to be accommodating and actually, and maybe there's a city role to say, okay, how can we help retrofit to create more of, like, if you think about the medical arts building downtown and there's a little lunch place in there, it's like my favorite little storefront on Nicollet Mall. How do we do a lot of that? Because that's actually like affordable for a small business to go into. And I don't hear I hear a lot of people agreeing with that, but I don't kind of hear a lot of like next steps from policymakers on that kind of issue. And Uptown has a similar thing. I mean, if you think about the former Victoria's Secret space, for example, buildings like that, and then there's Seven Points, we need to be creating sort of smaller opportunities, I think. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I have the wrong mind here of it, but to me, I don't see some of that capital B big retail really coming back, because we're seeing it having trouble in malls and in lots of situations,
No, I agree. Big retail is not coming back down to Uptown, but I do think, it's set that way. I think the other challenge that we don't have time to get into today, but maybe we'll talk about it in another episode, is transit, because Uptown was also very commuter and car focused, and now it's designed not to be that. And I think that's one of the, again, new visions that it's having trouble with people identifying. But Eric, thanks for joining us.
I would just say, I think there is parking in Uptown. One thing that if you go to 50th in France that they do very well is signage. They really show you where to go, to park. Yeah. And then there's debates around the Seven Points ramp in Uptown around, should there be, is there something to be done, whether it's public or otherwise, to sort of make that, more amenable to visitors? I don't know. But I mean, I think there's, plenty of ways to get to Uptown and to park there, but we could probably be making it more obvious to people.
Absolutely. Eric, I know we'll talk about the city down the line. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
This week, coming up next, this week's take, as you can guess, it's about the city. I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. This week's take is, I think, my sense of the questions I continue to get about Minneapolis. Is there a vision? Will it get back to greatness? And if it's going to change so much, is there going to be urgency or acceptance? Is there going to be urgency to clear encampments? Is there going to be urgency to fix public safety and hire more cops? I think that's what people are looking for, because the story that we've had for the last couple of years is a challenging story to tell. It's also the tough part about being a lover of the city and seeing these challenges. Let's face it, I go to the city a fair amount, but I go to places I'm comfortable in. I go to places that I feel are going to be safe. And many of those places, from the North Loop to other parts by the U, make me feel like I get to pick and choose what parts of Minneapolis I engage with. Whereas 6 years ago, there were most parts of Minneapolis I would engage with. I did a project on the north side 6 or 7 years ago and had no problem going to the north side. And the north side has improved compared to 6 or 7 years ago, but other parts of the city are challenged. It feels like whack-a-mole. Ultimately, the city's going to have to decide. The residents are going to have to decide, and the leaders are going to have to decide. How do we get investment in the city? How do we make the city safe and the neighborhoods live more livable? Because most times you say it'll never get back to where it was, but it was so short time ago that it was really good. It was a shining city for the entire country. So what do we need to do to get back there? And how do we do it with urgency? That's what I think we'll be looking for in the next few weeks. I know that's what I think residents are hoping this mayor's race decides. I'm Blaise Olson. That's Sunday Take. I'll be with Vanita at 6:20 Monday through Thursday. Check out thedailyagenda.com for all our newsletters. Until next time, that's the take.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.